because he is the reason for the season. And we want to examine again that familiar Christmas story found in Luke chapter 2. Would you turn there with me in your Bible? Luke chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 11. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. I have a special message for you today. I just want to begin by asking you, have you been hurt? Have you been abused? Have you been laid off maybe from work? Have you been let down? Have you been shortchanged? On this week before Christmas, do you feel like a failure? Do you feel like a loser? Well, today's message is just for you. Because if God can do what he did for the four men I'm going to be telling you about, he can do the same thing for you. He can bring peace to your heart and peace to every situation that you find yourself in. And that peace begins with the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ. The story of Christmas begins there in Luke chapter 2. We know there were shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And we pick up reading with our scripture today in chapter 2, verse 11. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Peace is our focus today. Peace is one of the most cherished gifts that God has given to his followers. As a matter of fact, it is an attribute that is so highly esteemed that in Galatians 5, verse 22, it says, "These are the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace." Now look at this Advent candle, and let me show you how that comes into play, because each one of these candles has a name. The first one down at your bottom left is for hope. But then starting with the top one on your left is love, joy, last Sunday in the pink candle, and then today's candle, peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. You know, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He came so that you might have peace, beginning with peace with his Father, God the Father. Your sin and my sin separates me from having a peaceful relationship with God the Father, because he is holy and he cannot tolerate sin. But that's why he sent the Prince of Peace. That's why he sent Jesus to live a perfect life, to suffer and bleed and die on the cross, so that I could have peace with God the Father through a saving relationship with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that on this week leading up to Christmas, that if you don't have peace with God, that you would settle that today, and that you'd allow Jesus to be the Prince of Peace in your life. But it's not only peace with God that we're concerned about today, it's peace within. Some of us, if we were just honest, we feel terrible inside. You probably couldn't tell by looking at our face or the way we relate to other people, but in all honesty, some of us inside are just an emotional wreck. We're so discouraged, we're so depressed, we're upset about things in our family, our finances, our school, our work, that peace is the last thing that could describe us. But I want you to know that God sent his Son Jesus so that you could have peace that passes all understanding. Peace that this world knows nothing about. But it begins with having peace with God in that saving relationship. Then you can have peace within on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. And then the Prince of Peace was also given to us so that we might have peace with others. How sad it is, how tragic it is that so many of us on this week before Christmas have discord in our relationships. Perhaps there's no peace at home, no peace between husband and wife, no peace between mom and dad, between children and parents and other relatives. God wants there to be peace in your home in this Christmas of 2016. Maybe there's no peace at your work. There's all kinds of politics that keep the place in constant turmoil, and it's like walking on eggshells every time you go to work. God wants to bring peace through you as a believer to that dreadful situation. And perhaps there's no peace in your school relationships. God can do a miracle in your life if you'll just surrender to Him. But you'll not have peace in your relationships until you first of all have peace with Almighty God. And so peace is our focus today. And I want to begin by telling you about a man who had French parents. They had a son who was born in 1808, and they were so committed to peace, they so highly esteemed peace, that they named their son Peace. His name was Placide, which in French is peace. Capu. You probably never heard of this man's name before, but his father had a very successful copper business, and everyone assumed that when Placide was of age, he would join his father in the copper industry, but a tragic accident prevented that from happening. One day, 8-year-old Placide was playing with his friend, and his friend was mishandling a loaded gun and accidentally shot Placide in his right hand. His hand was so small, and in 1808, so little could be done for him medically that there was no other choice but to amputate his hand. That's why you see in this photo of him his left hand, but his right hand is not there, just an empty sleeve. A young boy that had such a promising future, but now decimated. All his hopes, all his dreams of continuing in the family business were over. The father of the young friend who shot Placide in the hand felt so bad about what happened that he promised to pay for half of Placide's education at a highly esteemed school. And that he did. And Placide excelled, especially in art. With his left hand, he drew some of the most beautiful works and received prize upon prize, award upon award for his artistic ability. But that was not where his passion was. His passion was in literature. And he started taking up writing poetry as a hobby. And it was as a 39-year-old amputee riding in a bumpy carriage ride in a dusty coach with his one good left hand that he wrote one of the most beloved Christmas carols of all time. He was on his way to Paris. Christmas Eve was just 3 weeks away, but he was not a musician. He was just a poet. And so he had a friend whose name was Adolf Adam. He was a gifted composer. He had written operas. And Placide asked his friend Adolf if he could take this poem and write music to it. And what a wonderful job Adolf did. Some of the most beautiful music ever heard at Christmas time. It was sung for the first time on Christmas Eve 3 weeks later in a worship service. It became so popular in France that every worship service wanted to include this Christmas carol in it. But it soon fell into disfavor with French church officials because they discovered that the composer, Adolf Adam, was of Jewish ancestry. And already the roots of anti-Semitism were spreading wildly in Europe. Another thing that was against this beautiful carol, which was named in the French tongue Canique de Noël, was that its author of the lyrics had some very unpopular positions about church leadership. And he was frowned upon by church leaders for some of his anti-clergy views. And so what French church officials did was to ban this much-loved French Christmas carol, saying it could never be publicly sung again in a worship service. But that did not keep the people from singing this Christmas carol over and over again in the privacy of their own homes. 10 years later, the banned song also struck a chord in the heart of a reclusive writer half a country away, a minister, an American minister, named John Sullivan Dwight. John Sullivan Dwight was deathly opposed to slavery in the United States of America. He translated this French Christmas carol, Cantique de Noël, into English. The third verse of this carol must have especially struck a chord in his heart for his cause against slavery. Let me read you the third verse of this Christmas carol in English. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sound familiar? Vaguely familiar? Well, during the Civil War, this new song found its way into America's heart as one of the most cherished of Christmas carols, and that French Christmas carol became known as O Holy Night. Last Sunday, Jenny Huddleston and our combined music ministry blessed us with a beautiful rendition of it. But I'm not sure how many of us actually knew the history of a song that played such an important role in race relations and bringing its Jewish composer into the forefront of Christian hymnody and decrying slavery in our United States of America. But the story of O Holy Night's rich history is not over. It was Christmas Eve, 1906, a date which would spark the dawning of a technological revolution. On that date, a man by the name of Reginald Fessenden, the former chief chemist of Thomas Edison, but a man who was later laid off from working for Thomas Edison, did something formerly thought impossible. On that Christmas Eve of 1906, the 33-year-old college professor, who had so many disappointments in his own life as a young 33-year-old, raised in a minister's home, his father committed suicide, and if that wasn't enough hurt, his younger brother also committed suicide. Family commitments were so strong, as you can imagine, he was unable to finish his bachelor's degree, yet he was able to teach chemistry and engineering at Purdue University. A very intelligent, gifted young man who had so much hurt. and disappointment in his life. God used him on that Christmas Eve night in 1906 to take a type of generator and speak into a microphone, and for the first time in history, carry a human voice over the airwave. This was the first radio broadcast ever, Christmas Eve, 1906. You can imagine the sensation that this new invention spawned as there were people that were out on their ships used to listening to their tiny little speakers and hearing Morse code pulsed out over the airwaves. But now, for the first time, they heard a human voice. Radio operators in newspaper offices ran to their microphones to hear this Christmas Eve miracle. They sat in amazement to hear that a human voice could replace coded impulses that they were so used to hearing. Men and women ran to their own wireless units to hear the Christmas Eve miracle. You might ask, it's a good question, what are the words, the first words, that Reginald Fessenden ever spoke on the first radio broadcast on Christmas Eve, 1906. And it was the words I just read to you from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after the former chemist laid down his Bible after completing the story of Jesus at Christmas, he picked up his violin and he played the first song ever played on the radio. It was, "O Holy Night." People sat by their wireless units listening to that Christmas Eve miracle in utter amazement. Peace just wafted out over the airwaves for those who could hear this wonderful and gracious message. Placide, you know the guy named Peace? Placide Chaput, who wrote the words, was now an old man. He'd written this song 59 years earlier, and he would never have dreamed back then that it would have reached such a lofty prestige as it did on that Christmas Eve in 1906. So before there was America's Top 40 with Ryan Seacrest, before there was 20 The Countdown magazine, before there was Placido Domingo on WABE and WJSP, before there was Tim McCraw and Alan Jackson and Carrie Underwood on the Bear Country Radio, before there was Big Daddy Weave and Casting Crowns and Zach Williams and Chris Tomlin and Natalie Grant on Joy 93, there was a lone college professor with so many disappointments, so many hurts in his life, reading the Bible about Jesus and playing the song about his birth on that holy night. It sounds like a badly written joke, but what do a French amputee, a Jewish composer, a reclusive writer and minister in the United States, and a once-fired chemist from Thomas Edison's company have to do with each other? And it's summed up in one word: peace. God brought peace to a man who had been crippled for life, who thought his future would be totally fruitless. God brought peace to a man who had been discriminated against and abused just because of his race. God brought peace to a country which needed a Christmas carol to set her on the right path. God brought peace to a 33-year-old college professor who had had so much hurt and so much disappointment in his life. Let me ask you again, do you feel like a failure? Do you feel like a loser? Have you been beat up by this world? Have you been abused? Have you been hurt? Have you been disappointed? No more than these four men were. Yet God used his gospel of peace to bring to their heart the peace that only God can give. And if you're here today and you've never met the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, you can today. Seated right there in this sanctuary, he could give you peace between his Father and you. If you would confess that you're a sinner, we're all sinners, myself included. And if you would ask for his forgiveness and believe that Jesus died on the cross so that you could be forgiven, you could leave this building today on this Sunday before Christmas and have the Prince of Peace living on the inside of your heart. Perhaps you're here today and there's no peace within you. There's upsettedness. There is emotional trauma. And God wants to speak peace to your troubled heart. He wants to take up residence in your life and in your soul. Perhaps you're here today and you dread this coming Christmas with some of the family that will be arriving. You don't have peace with maybe a certain family member, and you're just feeling like you're going to be walking around on eggshells the whole holiday. It doesn't have to be that way. God can give you peace in that relationship, and it can be the best Christmas you've ever had. But you won't have peace with that person unless you first of all have peace with him. So the question of the hour is, do you have peace? If you don't, it's free and it's available here today as we bow our heads together. Oh, dear Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that when he came as the Prince of Peace. And we pray now for peace for those who so desperately need it in their lives, in their relationships. And Father, if there's anyone here who does not know you as their Savior, we pray that today would be their day of salvation. Father, for those who are already saved but just need a place that they can call home, we pray that if First Baptist Noonan is the place that you would have them be members, that they would come today. I can't think of a better day than to make these decisions than on the week before Christmas. So, Father, we're listening. Move in our hearts. Give us the grace to act by faith. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.